Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. Happy Memorial Day. And we're talking here with Mike Sanow, who is a military man, who is an actor and director and producer. Are you a director?
I've directed before, okay. Yeah. Not film, but.
So you do everything. So, and we're talking about one of my visions for the show tonight was to have someone who has military experience and who can tell us and educate us maybe on what it's like to be someone in the military. And you are currently still in the military?
Yes.
Okay. So, would you be called a lifer?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You're a lifer.
I'm past that 20-year mark. My retirement's locked in.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us about that. When do you retire as a military? How does that work?
My reserve retirement is locked in. I have the 20 years for that. Part of my time was reserve time and active duty time. Now I've got to lock in my active duty retirement. So in 2025, July 2025, I can retire.
Okay.
And I'll have 30 years at that
point. Wow. Yeah, that's intense. So you were telling me that... Mm-hmm. One of the things that happens is that sort of your clock gets your internal clock, and that since you were deployed that first time in 2003 off the air, you were telling me that you haven't slept. You've slept since 2003.
Sure, I sleep, but, yeah. I got to maintain my good look somehow. But no, I don't think that the older you get, the less sleep you need is a myth. I think there's some truth to that.
Okay, well, that's good. So we
because I find the older I get, the less sleep I need.
Well, there you go. Your clock. I mean, when you're in the military and you're deployed, how does it work with sleeping? Do you sleep on shifts or how does that work?
Yeah, we work 24/7.
So you don't sleep?
Oh no! You have
you
to sleep
in shifts.
Yeah, you have to sleep. There's more than one person doing the same job you're doing.
Okay, well, that's interesting to know. Did not know that. Mm-hmm. So there were several people, or like a lot of people, doing your job.
I just said that. I'm one of the fortunate few. I'm the only one that did my job for my battalion.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they'd have to cover you when you needed to sleep?
No. We made sure what I did, and I'll go ahead and tell you what
I
did.
Yeah, tell us.
I was the battalion MBC NCO for the deployment.
So what does that mean?
I worked for an aviation battalion, and I was the MBC, nuclear biological chemical, NCO, non-commissioned officer.
Okay.
Okay. I was an E6 at the time, a staff sergeant, and the chemical threat had been eliminated,
right,
if there was one, right?
Right.
So because I had to supply MOS as well, they said, hey, why don't you go work for the S4, which is what's in charge of supply for the battalion. And the Iraqis were rebuilding their country with us. So my job was to work with the local nationals, the Iraqis, and I went and picked them up at the North Gate every day and brought them in, and they rewired all the different areas, and they basically did labor, you know, and we paid them.
Wow. So this is something you don't hear about.
Not at all. And it's really kind of irritating. Before I left for deployment, I was a news junkie.
Okay.
And then when I got over there, you know, we had AFN, the Armed Forces Network, and we had one channel for news and one channel for sports, and that's
that
it. That's the extent of ANN.
Right.
The Armed Forces Network, rather. And so I'm looking at the news, and I'm looking out the door, and I'm like, we're not seeing the same thing here. There's a 1,000 good things that happen over there every day that nobody ever heard of.
Wow.
You know?
That's really interesting because it's and sad. And it just, again, lets us know that, like, us over here, David Jennings was talking about it, are detached from what's actually happening.
Sure.
And it's hard to know what's happening because our news apparently isn't catching up or isn't...
Well, and I don't want to slam anybody.
Right.
I should point out, A, I'm not the spokesman for the Army. I'm not the spokesman for the Illinois Army National Guard.
Yes.
And there were hundreds of people with me at the same time, and I can assure you that each one of us had a different deployment.
Right.
Okay. So all that being said, the uniqueness of my deployment was, you know, I had these guys that I worked with every day, and I went and picked them up, and they spoke English just like we're talking right now. And these were probably some of the most beautiful people I ever met in my life. Hassan was my friend's name. And, you know, Abu Ghraib broke out along those time frames there. And before the war, they don't have hot water heaters like we do here.
Yeah.
They have like 500-gallon tanks up on top of the roof. And Saddam Hussein forbid them from having satellite television. Well, they had it. They would cut out the bottom of it and, you know, the water tank, and they'd put it up there. Well, if they got caught with that, they were executed.
Wow.
So those were the risks that they would take in order to get TV.
Wow.
Right? And so after the war, everybody threw the tanks away, and that became the national flower, was the satellite dish. That's,
wow.
If you ever hear people say that, that's what that means. And so, you know, we have the 24-hour news networks now. Well, guess what? They're watching the same thing we're watching.
Right.
So all this Abu Ghraib stuff happens, and they have a custom over there. You know, they want you to eat with one another right away, because if we eat together, you can't hurt me, I can't hurt you.
Wow.
It establishes a trust. And I want to say it's En-Shahada is what it's called. And again, these were awesome people. And so Abu Ghraib happens, and it's being played over and over and over. And I said, man, I'm wearing a uniform. I've already got a target on my back. Now the news networks are just like throwing fuel on the fire. What the hell?
Right.
So I said to Hassan, I gotta know, because I'm guarding these people. Yes, they're my friends, but I'm armed. And if I, you know, I don't really know them. So if something were to happen and I got to pull a trigger, you know, I got to know what they're feeling about this whole thing is, you know. And I said, Hassan, what do you think about Abu Ghraib? And I can't exactly repeat verbatim what he said, but he said, you know, there's blank in every society. And I went, oh wow, that was like a weight off my shoulders, because I thought, first of all, he's got a sense of humor, God bless him. Secondly, okay, now I know where he stands, you know. And it was very hard to say goodbye to them.
Did you ever talk to them again? Any of your friends? I did.
This is you know, when we invaded the country, they did get some perks. They had the internet,
right.
So we were communicating during the deployment via email. Hey, this is what we're doing tomorrow. Okay, great. These are the supplies you're going to need, you know, so forth and so on. And so after I deployed back home, I kept in contact with them. And all of a sudden, one day, there was just no more communication. And I didn't think anything of it, you know. There was a battle handoff when I left, my replacement here.
Yeah.
This is what you do, so forth. And so right around Thanksgiving 2005, I opened up my email, and there's an email from Hassan. I'm like, oh, cool, San. And I open it up, and it says, hello, Sano. Everybody calls me Sano. You know?
Sano, yeah.
You know, you'll never know what it's like to have 1,000 people at the North Gate go, Sano, Sano. Ah. Everybody wanted me to be their escort, you know. If you treat people with respect, they'll respect you back. And anyway, so, hello, Sano, this is Shubar. I want to let you know that Mr. Hassan was killed with Mr. Jamal. And Mr. Rafid was wounded, and so I started making phone calls. I mean, I'm sitting there crying like a baby. I mean, these were beautiful people. All they wanted to do, when you boil everything down, was just provide for their family. That's all they want to do, you know?
That's super sad.
It's terribly sad, because these people had a great future. They really did. They got the opportunity to vote for the first time while we were there. And I asked Hassan, how did you feel about that? But he said, oh, it was great. He said, you know, there was mortars and rockets come in, and my friend, he was killed, and his wife and his daughter, they were there, and they were crying, and I didn't know what to do, so I built him a house.
Wow.
I was like, okay, I guess that's how you deal with grief.
Wow.
You know? But the point being, he was a very, very generous man. He was the one that owned a company. El Farah was the name of the company, which was named after his daughter. His daughter's name was Farah, and they did all the construction work. And so he employed all of these people, and they made good money to do the construction that they did for the, not just my battalion, but that entire base.
Wow.
You know?
Fascinating stuff. The fascinating stuff. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to hear how you transitioned into being an artist, more of an artist.
Can do.
Memorial Day morning. I hope you guys are all well. If you are just tuning in with us, we are talking with Mike Sanow, who is an active military man. and who is also an artist and who's also just an amazing, generous soul. And I have, we have many friends in common. This is the first time I've really sat down with you ever and had a chance to ask you about your life. You've had quite an incredible life and you continue to have one. I guess my question, and we were talking a little bit off air, is that what do you think is important for us? I know you don't speak for everybody, like you said, sure, for every soldier, for every veteran, but on Memorial Day, what do you think we should know or do, or how does someone celebrate that when maybe they don't have a loved one that is directly involved in the military, like me, say?
Having been all around the world and all around the country, I can tell you that the greatest place to live is the United States of America. Not that there's anything wrong with these other countries, but definitely the quality of life is much, much better here. There's nothing wrong with barbecuing or hanging out with friends or whatnot on this weekend. But, you know, we enjoy freedoms that people paid for, not monetarily, but, you know, there's protection that happens for this country. And some people gave their lives in the service of that. And it's important that we remember them, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's like sort of take, I mean, I did, I was, when I was doing my research, I found that, you know, I don't know technically, but in terms of what was sort of set down, it was like to take, I said it was either a minute or 3 minutes of silence mm-hmm. on the day. I'm like, I've never done that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important. I'm touched by your story and by the other stories I've been reading about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how it was, to come home after your, so the second deployment was when?
2012, 2013.
That's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
And where were you back? Where were you?
I was stationed in Kuwait.
Kuwait. Okay. So that was your second. And then could you be deployed again?
Sure.
You could.
Yeah. I don't anticipate it, but
there's always
a possibility. Yeah.
So there is. It doesn't end unless you are retired.
Right. Yeah.
So when you are retired, then you don't get deployed anymore. Or is that not true?
I mean, I suppose you could volunteer to come back, and if there's a necessity, I'm sure they would entertain it.
I'm sure people would do. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's it like to stop being over there? Do you know what I mean? In a place.
It's different. You get into a routine, and then, you know, you come home, and you have to adjust.
Yeah.
And I don't think I changed, you know, but there's people who say, well, you're a little bit different. Well, okay, well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
You know? So
what do they do? You think you're different? I mean, you said you don't think you've changed, but can you see their point? Or is
I do? I do. Before I left, and this is going to sound strange, but before I left, I was a workaholic. I mean, I would just work at the mill, because I was a reservist the first time.
Right.
And things weren't that important to me when I got back, you know. The company that I worked for before I deployed, oh, we're going to miss you, you know. And then when I came back, they were like, who are you?
Really?
Oh, so that's how it's going to be. Yeah. So
they didn't hold your job. They didn't.
Oh, no, they held my job. I mean, they abided by federal law. But
oh, they had to do
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. But it wasn't sort of the homecoming and the welcome that
no,
you thought it might be.
They found that they could function without me and found a cost savings. And yeah, we parted company. And it was time. I spent just under 19 years there.
Right.
And I never set out to work at a steel mill. It just happened to be what was paying for me to go to college.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so I wasn't heartbroken when we parted ways.
Okay. So right now, where you're still in the military.
Yes.
And you work, you were saying we off the air. So mm-hmm. you work, because I saw you in fatigues.
Yep.
And I thought, for a second, I thought, is he in that for a role? Or is he, no, but you were coming from, can you tell us what you do now?
Yeah, I'm a readiness NCO. I'm a platoon sergeant. I schedule training and so forth for everybody in the unit.
A readiness, what did you say?
NCO.
What is
non-commissioned officer.
What does that even mean? I'm like...
There are enlisted, which is your E1s through E4s. And your non-commissioned officers are enlisted as well, but they're non-commissioned officers. Then you have warrant officers.
Okay.
And then you have officers.
Okay.
And the officers are commissioned through the President of the United States.
Oh.
The warrant officers are commissioned through the Secretary of the Army.
Interesting.
But they're all off. All of them are considered officers.
Okay.
And we're non-commissioned officers. So we have authority too. Okay. The officers, they come up with the... This is what we're going to do, and the NCOs, we're the ones that carry it out.
Okay. So. All right. So you readiness. Mm-hmm. So you make sure that people are ready in case of trouble, in case
sure,
of...
Sure, yeah. Medically ready. We're always constantly training.
Okay.
For real world situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I make sure that everybody has the credentials to do what it is they're supposed to be able to do.
Wow. So. Okay. And do you, I guess I haven't asked you, do you like your job?
I do. I'm very fortunate to be able to be in a position to help people. Now, I am rough around the edges. I can be kind of blunt and so forth, but I really do take pride in being able to afford people opportunities, whether it's in the military or outside of the military, that they may not otherwise have been able to have.
Where do you think that comes from? Family? Or how do you have...
I'm a Sagittarius.
But my question is, I always ask people, like, where does that value come from to be of service? Because some people clearly have it, like yourselves. Other people, not so much. Not that they're bad. But I'm just saying, where do you think that you got that sort of service-minded mentality or value system?
You know, I really don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know. I'm one of eight children through different marriages and divorces and deaths and so forth. I'm the only one of the kids that went into the military. I have a brother that's a police officer. I have another brother that's a Chicago fireman. So
that's service, too.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. My dad was in the service. He was stationed in Germany. Hated it, but very much a supporter of the veterans, and always flew the United States flag and the POW flag, you know. I don't know. I mean, I was brought up right, I guess.
Yeah. And you just felt like that was the right thing to do.
I'm a very giving person.
You are a giving person. So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Mike Sanow, who is... I can say it, an NCO.
Yes.
A non-commissioned officer who is also an artist, and we're going to get into that in a second. But I'm talking to him, and it comes from my own need to understand Memorial Day and what that is, because I know that, you know, we talk about it, and you're right, there's nothing wrong with barbecues and there's nothing wrong, but, you know, these holidays happen for a reason, and I was researching it, and I said, well, who do I know that can teach me about this? Because I don't come from a military family, and I'm not, none of my friends were in the military, and so I'm glad I know you.
I know you as well.
I'm really glad I know you. So if there's anything you would say to a young person or not so young person, a young adult or a kid or that was said, you know, I want to join, any advice for them? Any words of wisdom?
I will honestly say the military is not for everybody. The military has been very, very good to me. I think it was something I needed as well as wanted. For somebody that wanted to join, I would strongly advocate joining. There's great benefits. You can learn a skill.
I think that's the other thing that people don't like, and I was reading in your sort of materials, is that people don't realize that you learn all extremely valuable skills in the military. It's not about, quote, just fighting.
Right.
There's a lot of learning that goes on.
Sure, yeah. That's a misconception with a lot of people. Oh, you're in the Army. You're a natural born killer. No. There's combat and there's combat service and support. You know, the infantry, they're the ones that have to do the very, very bad things if it's needed. You know what I mean? We're all trained to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a door kicker. And again, I have the utmost respect for them because they're more in harm's way than I am.
Right.
You know?
And by door kicker, you mean just like the people on the front lines?
Yeah.
That are going into these places.
And it's funny you say front lines. Every war that the country's been in has had stark differences, right? So World War II, the United States, everybody supported, hey, buy war bonds, you know, right?
Yeah.
Vietnam rolls around, and I think it was mentioned earlier.
Yeah, David.
Yeah. It was the first war that was televised. and everybody was a villain. So when the guys came home from Vietnam, and these are stories that were relayed to me by the guys from the Lansing Veterans Memorial, it was everything they could do to get out of uniform right away and make their way through the airport. But they were still picked out because, you know, they got the short hair.
Right.
And, you know.
So they're being forced, feeling like they're forced to sort of be incognito after just giving
Well, I mean, think about it. There was a draft and, you know, next year you're a baby killer and all this. And, you know, it's... No, America has learned its lesson, and in fact, it's vacillated from one extreme to the other. When I came home on leave, I stopped off at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport there. That was my connecting flight back to O'Hare. And this lady pulls up out in front of the terminal. Hey, where are you going? You need a ride? She's got a convertible, right? I said, well, are you driving to Chicago? She says, no, but, you know, thanks for your service, and she drives away. When we got off the plane, and I'm not even exaggerating, there was, I don't know, couple hundred of us that got off the plane. Everybody was going to leave in different directions of the country. There had to be 1,000 people or more from the VFW, from the American Legion, from the Patriot Riders, from the local municipalities, the schools, the firemen, the policemen. Everybody was welcoming us home. I mean, it was just overwhelming. So, okay, Operation Iraqi Freedom was not a very popular war, right? People didn't take it out on the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, the marines, and the Coast Guardsmen. They voiced their dismay to the government, the elected officials, but they didn't take it out on the service members. And that's huge because we're only doing a job, you know.
Wow. 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 Okay. I'm like so enthralled. I am just so grateful that you're here, and we're going to get into, I promise, we're going to get into the acting stuff because I think that's important too, because I think it's a good outlet for veterans and for people in the military. But right now we are going to take a break.
All right.
This is Jen B on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. Happy Memorial Day. Really learning the meaning of Memorial Day today, and I am so grateful. I'm here, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Mike Sanow, who is an active military non-commissioned officer. And I'm really proud of myself. I'm learning new terms and being educated here. And we're also talking about he does many things. And one of them, you're an actor. So how did that transition? How did you go? I mean, obviously, we know that if you've been listening, you know that Tracers, the play, got you into service. How did you come back into the acting world post deployments? Thank you. Thanks, Sean. Sean's like, yeah, no, we can't hear. So anyway, we're talking about how we got back into acting post-deployment. And he said, that's a very good question. And I said, I'm glad you like my question.
Yeah.
And now we can hear his answer. So
okay.
Here we go.
And I'm going to sing it. No, I'm kidding. I got involved in theater when I was young in grade school and then all through junior high and high school. And even in college, I went to South Suburban College. For about a decade, I lost my creativity.
What happened?
I worked at a steel mill that sucked my soul out.
Right.
I literally just lost my creativity. I'm a musician. I'm a saxophone player. I taught myself how to play the piano. But out of my family, I'm really the only one that's the creative one. Everybody else is sports and so forth. So I'm the black sheep. I'm the misunderstood one. I needed something. And when I came back from deployment the first time, I started building sets and a little more heavily. But I went to school at Second City back in the early 90s.
Oh.
I was there when Steve Carell was on stage and Stephen Colbert. That was fun for me. It was inspirational.
Yeah.
And then I made it to the conservatory level. And that's when you got to audition, and I'm in there with 100 other people, and I'm looking around and going, oh,
scary. It's very scary.
I want to do it over again. I really do, because I think I succumbed to my own psyche at that point. And, now I've got my confidence back. You know what I mean?
And so you said, I'm going to do this again.
I did. I really did, because I thought, why am I living like this? This is not fun. I know I'm a creative person, and I want to be a creative person, so, case in point, friends of mine were getting divorced, and they're like, hey, we got this grand piano, does anybody want to buy it? I'm like, this guy, give me the, here.
So you bought the piano.
I did. It's sitting in my living room, and I play it every day.
Wow.
Just because.
Right.
It relaxes me.
Right. So you really have gotten back into your creative side.
Yes.
So tell me all the things that you're doing theater-wise.
Oh, jeez.
Well, let's start. I can point you in the right direction
okay.
here. So tell me what you're working on at this very moment. I know it's a lot of things, but let's see if we
I'll compartmentalize
yes.
it. I'm in the process of closing down the Mary Archie Theater.
Yes, a very famous storefront
yes.
Chicago
in
theater.
In fact, I was actually just left there before I came here. I was with Rich Gutowski and uh-huh. Guy Van Swearingen and Rudy Galvan. And, you know, we were kind of doling things out. Okay, this goes there, that goes there. After 30 years, the block has been purchased, and they're going to have some gentrification going
yeah.
on there. They're putting in condos,
right.
and hey, God bless them, more power to them. But us and Straw Dog were displaced.
Yeah.
We've...
So if you guys don't know, Straw Dog and Mary Archie were... our Straw Dog still exists, mm-hmm. But they. What happens is in Chicago, there's all these storefront theaters, great theaters,
yes.
and as neighborhoods change, they sort of the people developers buy up blocks and mm-hmm. say, "So long, all the businesses that are on the street, good luck." And so they get bought out, basically.
Right.
And so you were literally dismantling the theater.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been a fire sale for the past month and a half.
Wow.
The chairs are gone. The lighting system's gone. The Annoyance Theater bought the lighting
yeah.
system. So, I mean, things are going to a good home.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of heartbroken.
Yeah, you're heartbroken.
I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my home for, yeah. for many years on,
your creative
on and off.
Home.
Yeah.
So you're doing that. So you're saying mm-hmm. you're helping to say goodbye to
yes.
that theater. What
yeah.
else is going on for you?
We just got done producing a music video for a
okay.
guy that I went to school with,
cool.
a friend of mine, Brian Grilly. He's a Navy veteran. He's medically retired with 17 years. I have to laugh because back in the 80s, he had this heavy metal hair band.
Yeah.
But now he's a member of the Country Music Academy.
Okay.
But we're both from Lansing, and he wrote a song called My Hometown.
Wow. And you produced the music video?
We did, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So you've got that going. Mm-hmm. What else? What else?
We're producing a feature film. I'm actually helping a friend of mine, Tadeo Garcia. He has a film called En Algún Lugar. Translates to A Place to Be.
Yep.
And it's a SAG ultra low budget film through his company, Iconoclast Films. And it's all being filmed here in Chicago, and some of it was filmed in Mexico, and it's got a stellar cast. So pretty excited about
Yay.
That. I think I know a lady who's in the cast.
I think I'm going to be in this
there
movie.
There you go.
Aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I'm
you
excited.
Are. I am too.
Super excited.
We've got a great cast.
So you're doing a bajillion things.
Yeah.
So do you feel like your military service, in a way, sort of allowed you... I want to say the confidence, like, because you were saying when you went to Second City, it was like a confidence not so great. That and being in the military, have you earned some confidence about yourself that you can go forward in the arts and be like, you know what, I've lived, I've seen, and now I'm going to do what I want to do?
That's possible. I won't say it's not possible,
right.
but it's possible. You know, I worked for TF South High School for quite a while.
What's that high school?
It's out in Lansing, Illinois,
okay.
Thornton Fractional Township South High School.
Okay.
I coached speech there for 10 years, and I was the tech director for 13 years. So I've always been involved with the arts.
Right.
But, you know, I can speak publicly, but I can also be very much an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I'm a wallflower.
Right.
I have no explanation for it. It just happens.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe I'm a social misfit. I don't know. I love being on stage, and I haven't been on stage in a long, long time, but there's nothing that you can compare it to.
Right.
It's an adrenaline rush, and it's a very memorable adrenaline rush.
Right. I agree.
I don't want to rest on my laurels, but way back when, I played Fagin.
Oh.
And Oliver.
Yeah.
And I got done singing the song, reviewing the situation. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, this was the ending of it, and all
you
of a sudden...
You can't see him, but he's doing like a
yeah,
victory
right, right.
V.
I'm the king of the world.
Yeah.
850 people stood up.
Oh.
I still remember that to this day.
Oh.
So, you know.
Well, that's... Okay, so if you could... you were saying that you also work with some veterans... that are also in the arts.
I do.
Is there an organization maybe that helps veterans? Like, have you thought about, because you have all this time. You only have 7,000 things you're doing. But an organization, what's coming to mind as you talk, is an organization for veterans, maybe in theater or in some kind of way to express themselves and have fun post, you know, deployments or in retirement. Do you think it helps?
I do, because I would like to say that I don't suffer from, you know, things, but yeah. I'd be lying.
Right.
I mean, I have to have a creative outlet.
Yeah.
It's an energy release. So, I mean, there's a couple of people that I know that are veterans. They're no longer in the military. They've gotten out. They did their stint, and they're off doing their life, you know. But they chose acting. Some of them are making a good go of it. Some of them aren't, not so much, you know. But I like to be able to be in the position that I'm in to afford people opportunities, you know. So I've been able to cast some people in some things that they might not have otherwise had that opportunity.
Right. You know? So you're just a service guy all around. I mean, a giving guy.
I try.
Yeah. I mean, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there any way we can follow you, find what you're doing?
I am all over Facebook. For somebody that was opposed to Facebook prior to the deployment, that's probably the easiest way to find me.
Facebook. So,
yeah. Okay. Under Michael J. Sanow.
Michael J. Sanow. Spell your last name.
S-A-N as Nancy O-W.
Michael J. Sanow. Well, thank you for your service to our country and all that you do for people in the arts. This guy is a great guy, and I'm super, super happy that you were able to join us.
Yeah, for sure. It's my
and
pleasure.
Stick
being
around.
Here.
We're going to be talking to Robin Coffin.
Yay.
We're going to talk some more fun stuff. But stick around. I've been talking Memorial Day stuff, and we're in a bit, we're going to talk to a good friend. I've also asked Mike Sanow to stick around, and going to talk a little bit more because I failed to mention certain things that I really want to mention about some organizations he's affiliated with. So good thing I asked him to stick around. But I just want to jump in a little bit about the, because people were texting me before the show and saying, what movies should I watch? I'm just going to go ahead and turn your mic back on because you're right here, Mike. but yeah, so people were saying, what movies could I watch that aren't cheesy, that really, really kind of show the American military experience without sort of glamorizing it, you know? Because it's not Hollywood. So let's see if any of ours match up with what you're going to say.
Sure, sure.
All right. I haven't seen all of these. What about Saving Private Ryan?
Number one on my list.
You like that movie?
I absolutely love that movie.
Okay. Anyone, Esmeralda, David Jennings, Sean, have you seen that movie? Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen it.
I don't think I have.
Really? Because I think it's one of the, and I'm not a big war movie kind of a gal just because the violence gets to me sometimes, but I haven't seen it either. This is supposed to be one of the most amazing films. It's a 1998 film. So again, Esmeralda, you might not have been born, but she's laughing.
Starring Tom Hanks, among others.
Tom Hanks is a World War II captain whose mission is to save Private Ryan, Matt Damon, the sole survivor among four military sons, and it's directed by none other than Steven Spielberg.
And that situation, it at the start of the Second World War, there wasn't a prohibition on multiple members of the same family or siblings, but that changed, if my memory is correct, as the war went on.
Oh,
so
is that true? Is that right? So you we don't have headphones for him, so I'm gonna get him some headphones, but I think that's true. He was saying, just I'll interpret for a second, he was saying that they used to not have multiple, they used to be able to send multiple members of the same family to war, and they don't do that. They don't do that anymore. So
we had brothers with us. We had twin brothers, as a matter of fact, but it was just the two of them.
Right.
They had other siblings that weren't in the service, so they weren't there.
Four. This is the story, right, David Jennings, of four military sons. Oh, my.
Yeah.
directed by Steven Spielberg.
But that did happen, and that's, I think, if your guest may know, may be able to verify this, but if my memory is correct, there were a couple of instances where, like, three or four brothers of the same family were all killed in action, and someone in the Pentagon made the decision, you know, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
they decided to stop
it. I think you're
right.
I read that they made it a policy not to do that because, can you imagine? I mean, obviously, the devastation of the parents, they don't do four brothers at a time in the same platoon. I mean,
correct,
they were all
right.
in the same sole survivor of four military sons during World War II. So we all can agree that's a good one. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about 1986's Platoon?
It's a good movie. I like it, but that's not representative of everybody's experience. I think that's just a slice.
Yes.
And I think there were some Hollywood embellishments.
It's Oliver Stone, so
right.
he's got a whole...
There's a conspiracy in there
well,
somewhere.
Well, also, he's just... Yes, and it's just so out there in terms of... He takes it out there. Have you guys seen that, Esmeralda? Have you seen
it? I know
it?
I've seen most of it.
Charlie Sheen.
Right.
Yes. Before he lost his mind.
Before he went crazy.
David Jennings.
I've seen bits of it. Yeah. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Okay, so that was 1986. One of the first movies to show the tense psychology of guerrilla warfare, and there are no clear battle lines nor enemy, directed by Oliver Stone, who won, by the way, Best Director for it. This is a 1941 movie that I have not seen with Gary Cooper called Sergeant York.
Sergeant York.
Yeah. Alvin C. York, Gary Cooper, is a conscientious objector, but his amazing marksmanship turns him into a World War I hero.
Marksmanship.
Thank you. Marksmanship. Mm-hmm. Turns him into a World War I hero. Directed by Howard Hawks. I have not seen that. Anyone?
I have not.
No.
Many moons ago.
Many moons ago. Okay.
Try this one. Run Silent, Run Deep.
Oh. I don't know what...
Submarines.
That's the Navy.
Yes. Oh, the Navy. Is that a good one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put that on
list. It was based on a book written by a Navy subdriver.
What year?
This was, I think, 1950s?
Wow.
I think.
Okay.
The commander's name was Edward L. Beach, if I remember correctly, because I also read his book.
Oh, I'm writing it down. I'm gonna have to. I want to. Submarines freak me out.
Yeah, it's like being in a sardine can.
You're trapped, right?
Think of being in an airplane that's underwater.
You know, see, if anyone's ever known me or worked with me, I hate to fly. So the idea of a plane in the water sounds like I would pass out. I pass out thinking about it. A plane in the water. No, sir. No, sir.
This is why I didn't join the Navy. I went to the Army.
No, sir. Okay, the other one they're talking about here is Midway, 1976. Charlton Heston. I'm not a big fan of his. So he starred in the blockbuster war epic. It recreates the famed battle from both sides of the Midway, directed by Jack Smite. No idea. Haven't seen it. I'm not a huge fan of his. The Dirty Dozen.
That's a good one.
The Dirty Dozen. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen that. Lee Marvin.
Charlie Savalas.
Oh, yeah. They're sent on a suicide
Richard
mission.
Richard Jekyll.
Yeah. Infiltrate a Nazi retreat and to kill the high-ranking officers. Wow. Dirty Dozen. You agree? That's a good one?
Oh, I like the movie as far as entertainment. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just ask you, since you're here, what movies really depict it? You said Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, the real ones that are like real life? I would definitely Saving Private Ryan. Black Hawk Down.
We have a caller. Is that right, Sean? All right, let me put him on. Hopefully I don't mess this up. I'm just gonna tap on him, right, Sean? Here we go. Frederick, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Loving your show.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a movie called Boys from Company C. I think it's maybe late 70s, early 80s. And the main character was a guy who, even though he dons the uniform, he's not really a Marine.
Oh.
And some things happen. You know, you can get kind of tribal when you get into service, you know, but something happens in this guy's life and he changes. Matter of fact, he's going to sell drugs.
Oh.
He's going to work with the natives. in Vietnam, but something happens and he changes and he actually becomes a Marine. I mean,
wow, what's it called?
It's a really good Boys from Company C.
What year? What do we? I'm sorry.
Again, something like late 70s, okay. Early 80s.
Boys from
something like that.
Okay, that sounds like a really good movie. I'm thank you for calling because I had never heard of it. All right, Frederick, have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. That was Frederick. See if I can hang him up. He's hung up. I liked him. So Boys from Company C. All right. You never know. You never know what you're going to learn movie-wise. The other ones here that are seem interesting are, of course, Patton.
Love that movie.
I do, too.
Amen.
Yeah, that is a good movie. George C. Scott, one of my favorites.
I think that was one of his, if not the best performance of his career.
Yeah,
well, they made great soundtrack,
he is Patton. You know what I mean? Like that, the soundtrack. Do you like?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I have to check that out again. Check that out again.
And the great thing is they didn't hide anything, including the little incident that got him sidelined.
Right,
slapping the soldier across the face.
Yeah, they didn't. No, they pretty much showed it like it was. They weren't, they didn't sugarcoat it. No, he was an interesting character.
The Boys from Company C was a drama from 1978.
Oh, he was right. Frederick was right on, Frederick.
The cast was Lee Ermey, who's a friend of mine, Andrew Stevens, Stan Shaw, Craig Wasson, Michael Lembeck, and James Channing.
Okay. Well, we got that going on. So we're going to take a break, I believe. Looking at my lovely Sean. We're going to take a break and we will come back and in a little bit. And we're going to talk with, stick around. You stick around as the sort of, you're my military expert / theatrical consultant.
Your liaison.
My liaison. And we're going to talk to Robin Coffin in a little bit. But right now we're going to take a break. This is Jen B on WGN 720 AM.
America!
Good morning. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D until 5 a.m. And then I believe Dave Plyer will be here, if I am correct, which I believe I am, which is shocking. But he will be here. But until then, I'm here with you. And I would like to say good morning and happy Memorial Day. And I've been really enjoying talking all things Memorial Day. And before I forget, before we talk with Robin Coffin, star of Chicago Fire, I wanted to give Mike a chance to just briefly talk about things that he's really interested in that are tied in with this stuff. So give it a shot. What's going on?
Let's see here. I want to talk about Warrior Vodka. Warrior Vodka, for those of you that like vodka, all the proceeds, 80% of the proceeds of this sale of this goes to wounded veterans.
Okay.
Only 20% is kept for operating funds. My friend Jonathan Jans is a United States Marine. He is a wounded warrior. And he's medically retired from the service. And, so he has...
Where can we get that vodka?
If you go to www.warriorvodka.org,
okay.
Everything you want to know about Warrior Vodka is on that website.
All right.
And John has a service dog.
Okay.
And this is the most well-adjusted, well-behaved dog I've ever seen in my life. He got that dog through an organization called Paws Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a not-for-profit organization. My friend Mike Tellerino runs that organization. And they rescue animals from kill shelters.
Okay.
They train the animal. They pay for the medical cost of the animal, and they feed the animal for the duration of the animal's life. And the dog is then assigned to a wounded veteran.
Wow, to a veteran.
Absolutely.
Okay, Paws Illinois.
Yes, and they can be looked at www.paws, P-A-W-S, Illinois, I-L-L-I-N-O-I-S. org.
So these are amazing because they benefit veterans. So people always ask, like, what? This was perfect because someone just texted and asked, what can I do to give back? Here we go.
Yeah.
So, we've got the Warrior Vodka.
Warrior Vodka.
And we've got Paws Illinois.
Yes.
And what else?
Honor Flight Chicago.
Honor Flight Chicago.
Yes. It costs about roughly $500 to fly World War II veterans out to Washington, D.C. to see the Washington Monument, the whole National Mall, and specifically the World War II Memorial. It's an incredible sight to see.
Wow.
And they are actually now taking Korean War veterans as well to take them out there.
I think I heard about that. So Steve Cochran, who has the morning drive here,
yes. Mm-hmm.
He was talking about that mm-hmm. as well. And he had people on and they were talking from that organization. What's the organization called?
It's called Honor Flight Chicago.
Honor Flight Chicago.
Yes, my friend, Dr. Maureen Perovich.
That was her.
Yeah.
She was on the air with Steve Cochran.
We both live in Lansing. She's an awesome human being.
She was talking all about what it takes and how they make sure that the veterans, because obviously a lot of these veterans are elderly,
yep.
that they're taken care of, that they don't fall, that yep. that there are, you know, even simple things like bathrooms nearby
sure.
that are accessible for people. And they just really take care of the veterans as they take them. So they take them to D.C. so they can see the monuments.
Yes.
And
it's literally a 24-hour trip.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Wow. So how much? So 500 per?
It's an average of about 500 per.
Okay. So how do we get in touch to donate?
If you go to www.honorflightchicago.org and you can check them out, or you can call 773-227-8387.
That is amazing. So if people, yeah, because people were asking, well, it's good to know the history of Memorial Day and what it really means and stuff, but how can I donate so that I can remember a soldier or give in the name of someone that maybe passed on that, you know, died in the line of duty or mm-hmm. was killed? And these are great ways.
Yes.
These are great resources. So look at these three. You know what? I'll see if we can post them somewhere also.
Yeah, sure.
I'll post them on my personal Facebook page as well so people can know. But there are things you can do, ways you can give back.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't say know a veteran personally or, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's really, really important. You've been a great co-host today.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be here anytime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I am going to be in a movie. Are you directing this movie?
No, I'm just one of the producers and I'm the casting director.
Well, he cast me. He was the other day.
Yeah.
I think it was yesterday, in fact, I was cast in this
before,
movie.
Something like that. Yeah,
that I was cast in this movie. So the other thing I wanted to say is just look at your local everybody, before we take a break and come back with Robin Coffin, look everybody in your paper because there are all kinds of things happening today. There are all kinds of parades, right?
Yep.
There's parades, there's ceremonies. It looks like every village and town in the area has a parade going. You can look at, this is the Daily Herald,
mm-hmm.
has a lot of the suburb stuff. And it's pretty amazing. I think parades were something that I did as a kid, and I would actually like to get back into them because it sort of is nice to be around family and friends, and it's like it feels safe, and there's nothing, you know, I don't know. It's a fun, free thing to do to honor people. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be at a parade?
No, we used to do a Memorial Day parade several years ago, and then we wound up just doing a ceremony instead.
Okay.
Just because of lack of turnout.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and we'll listen to Robin, and when we come back,